Boy, am I sick of politics. I really am. Politics for me does nothing but define the differences between people. That's all. That's all it does. Takes away the fact that we all have hearts and we all have heads and we walk around with our bodies and we're all trying to make money to support our families and we're trying to enjoy the more fun things in life every once in a while. Politics throws a wedge between us where you're different than me. You believe different things than I do. Politics is a horribly ugly thing. We must get rid of it. That's why I get a flu shot. What? What are you talking about? A flu shot? What does that have to do with it?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
A flu shot? Where did that come from?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That reminds me, I gotta get a flu shot.
Whatever.
Anybody got a flu shot?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very nicely done.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Julie, did you get your flu shot?
No, I didn't.
Wow, your voice changed a lot. I was talking to some people yesterday, which is something that I do every once in a while. And most of them had not gotten their flu shots yet, and a lot of them had intended not to get the flu shot. Said, no, I haven't had the flu shot in 5-6 years, and I'm as healthy as a cow on a piece of rock. What? Why? And I said to them, well, what's the problem with getting a flu shot? Why do you think? Said, no, when I get a flu shot, they're actually taking a piece of the flu, and they're putting it in my body, and I could get sick from that. Why would I want them sticking a needle in me and putting flu in me? And I said, no, that's what I used to think when I was stupid like you are now. No, it's a dead strain that it's dead. They're putting a tiny little amount of the strain, the dead version of the strain into your body. So if you do get the flu, your body knows how to fight it off because it's already been introduced. Dead strain, person. Now you've been properly introduced, just in case a live strain comes along. Now your body can fight it off. That's what the flu shot does, you see. Now that's not the medical explanation. I don't think your doctor will ever explain it to you that way. I don't know who your doctor is. Maybe they will or maybe they won't. Maybe he will, maybe she won't, maybe it will. I don't know. But get the flu shot. Just get it. Just get it. But Ron, I don't like needles in my arm.
Oh, you poor baby. You poor little baby. Baby doesn't like needles in your arm.
Ron, what are you doing? Why are you talking like that? That's stupid. That was stupid. That was just stupid. Go get a flu shot. You can get it at CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, pharmacies. I think your doctor even has them. Some places in supermarkets. I think Walmart and the aisle 7, I think. I don't know. You get it everywhere. I get it off the streets. Yeah, I look for people with big heavy coats on when it's still warm outside. And go, hey, did you get your flu shot? Why, no, I didn't, sir. Why? Are you a doctor? Hey, come here. You see this? I got flu shots. 10 flu shots for $1. What do you say? Huh? 10 flu shots. If 1 flu shot is going to help you, think of what 10 are going to do. 10 flu shots, $1. Take them home, give them to your kids. Come on, huh?
take flu shots. Tell you what. You pick up 10 flu shots, I'll throw in pneumonia. I'll throw in pneumonia shot. That's for your older people. Come on. 10 flu shots for a dollar. Come on. You can't go wrong. I fill up every day. I get new flu shots. These aren't stale old flu shots. I fill up my jacket every day with these flu shots. And then you hear the cops and the sirens are coming. Oh, my God, I got to get out of here. They're on to me. I got to go to another neighborhood. Hey, I'm out of here. Yeah, black market flu shots. It's very, very common. I don't understand it. I don't understand. You know what's sad? You know, like this Hurricane Michael, which I don't think did much for that retail art store Michael's. I don't think that helped them out too much.
Let's run down to Michael's and pick up some paintbrushes for the kids down at Michael's. Did you hear about Michael destroying the lives of people and knocking out their neighborhoods?
What, the art store destroyed people's lives?
No, the Hurricane Michael, not the store Michael's.
Oh. That was the same thing with Jared Jewelry. Do you remember that? Maybe you're not old enough to remember. Maybe you were born yesterday. Not Ashton Kutcher. Jared from Subway. Remember him? He was the fat little kid and he lost all his weight by eating Subway sandwiches every day. Yeah, like that happened. Jared didn't lose his weight by eating Subway sandwiches all day. He lost his weight because he was paid money to go to a gym and work that blubber off, Jared. Little Subway spokesman. Then we find out that he was molesting young children. Jared had a trial, a public trial, and was put in jail, in a very special jail for people that fool around with children. It's very interesting, that jail thing. You know, you have hardcore murderers in this jail. We kill about 5 people every day when they don't take the flu shots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we killed 5 people every day when I was out on the streets. You may think that's horrible, but this Jared molesting the children, that's unexcusable. That is unexcusable. Well, it's true. It's true. Hardened criminals hate guys that molest children. I guess there's a fabric of morality in murderers. Yeah, you know, I'll kill thousands of people, but don't molest children. That's where I draw the line. Anyway, Jared's in jail. And that was big news, you know, and Subway somehow survived that. Subway's bigger than ever. I guess Subway claims that, you know, we sell Subway sandwiches. When it comes to child molestation, that's where we draw the line. Anyway, so Jared's in jail. And then there's a jewelry store called Jared's. And I'm thinking, man, somebody better change their name quickly because that doesn't sound good.
Honey, I'd like you to marry me. I got you this beautiful ring from Jared's.
Isn't that the guy who molested children from the Subway place?
No, that's a different Jared. Oh, my God, you've ruined this moment.
I don't know. You got to be really careful these days. Anyway, so this is Hurricane Michael. Oh, Ron, did you get off course here?
Yeah.
Hurricane Michael slams into the Florida Panhandle. At first, I didn't know where the panhandle was. I didn't know Florida had a panhandle. I thought Florida was just in the shape of a penis, and that was about it. But apparently, there's a little handle on Florida, which is starts to get near Louisiana and that area there, all the way west. But it slammed into the Florida Panhandle. I believe a little less than 20 people died. That's considering, it's horrible, but considering the devastation, I mean, it's incredible. But a devastating hurricane wipes out entire towns, and people band together. They help each other out. They actually rescue each other. They risk their lives to rescue their neighbors. And this is where humanity comes together.
You remember probably 9/11 if you're old enough, many of you. I never thought that I'd say that. I always thought everybody was now born by 2001, but I guess it's not the case. Some were born after, oddly enough. But the entire country banded together. There were no politics. There was nothing. I mean, it was just everybody just banding together and helping each other out and mourning together. It was a kumbaya moment after the horrible incident. People banded together and became one. Why is it that it takes some type of incredible tragedy for us to realize that we're all the same people, really? Why does it take that? And then time passes, and we all are polar opposites again. Two things contributed to this society being split down the middle and broken up. Two things contributed to it. First was social media, which will be the death of our society. I truly believe that. I'm not writing a book about it, although I should. Social media will be the death of our society, not only in this country, but across the world. People will turn to drugs. They will turn to suicide. They'll be lonely. They'll be depressed because of social media. But Ron, social media, by definition, you're hooking up with people. You're not hooking up with people. You're not hooking up with warm bodies. You're hooking up with virtual reality people, people that don't exist, that don't identify themselves. These are not your friends. They are your virtual connections, which do not actually exist. We bury our heads into technology, and we become more unfamiliar with the real people who live and breathe standing next to us, who right now are a bunch of assholes, but that's a different problem. We live in a world of stuff that doesn't actually exist or that hides behind a wall. Social media is the enemy of the people. The other is Donald Trump, who has the ability to bring out the worst in all of us, who demonstrates that anger, revenge, and hostility is the way to live. You can't exist, you can't be successful without anger, hostility, and division, and manipulation. He is the Antichrist. Obviously, I don't think I even have to say that. And if you're a Republican, you obviously are now stuck in the mud. I think even Republicans say to themselves, oh, God, I like being Republican. I like what it stands for. I like being fiscally conservative. But this guy, what an asshole. Yeah, so those are the two things that take our society, split them down the middle. And as I've said on this show many, many times, that phrase, united we stand, divided we fall, we're divided and we're falling fast. The national deficit is about $700 billion. I don't even know what that looks like zero-wise with a dollar sign. I have no idea. That means we owe people a lot of money. We don't own ourselves anymore. We're owned by China. If China got real pissed at us and said, I want all my money now, we'd have to say we don't have that kind of money. Well, then we have to own you. You belong to us now. You're the United States of China. How did they do that? Well, we sold ourselves out. That's how we did it. We sold ourselves out. Then Donald Trump gets into the White House. I'm sorry to say that name, Donald Trump. That annoys me as well. Gets into the White House. This man, this businessman, and the deficit, increases by like almost a third. Yeah, the deficit goes up because of him. This great businessman now puts us further into bankruptcy. check out his background, how many times Mr. Trump has declared bankruptcy. And you'll see that he doesn't understand this stuff. He's very good at dividing people, being angry, manipulating people. But how long can that go on? So, that's where we stand. Divided we stand. That's where we fall as well. Well, Ron, this has been a very uplifting conversation that you've opened up with today. Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta open people's eyes. People walk around with blinders on. They knock into walls and stuff. They don't know what the hell's going on. You gotta open their eyes a little bit. See? You see what's going on? Oh, Ron, you're right. I didn't have my eyes open. One of my former friends claimed that he wasn't involved in politics. He says politics is an ugly thing. I don't get involved in politics. I have no political views on anything. I have no political views. I don't follow anything. I don't want to get involved in that stuff. Oh, I see. So you just walk down the street with your wallet hanging out of your pants, and you just say, "Go on, take my wallet. I'm not involved in this," because that's what's happening. That's what's happening. If you don't open your eyes and realize what's going on around you, then you might as well just give people your wallet, because that's what's happening. You are to be manipulated. You are to be played. You are nothing but a loser unless you open your eyes. Open your eyes. And I'm not talking about visiting an optometrist, which you should do on an annual basis, by the way. I'm talking about opening your eyes in the sense of opening your eyes. All right, that's enough. Anyway, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for being here. You're very important people, because without you, well, I guess I could do without you. I apologize for that comment. I really do. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton said that said this horrible thing about Republicans, about putting them in a barrel, and the barrel was disgusting, or whatever she said? She wasn't right, and she wasn't wrong.
There's a monkey.
That's a kid's song. It's Amy Lee wrote that song fairly recently. There's no way you can dream too much. And, you know, out of kid's songs comes amazing messages sometimes, because kid's songs are so pure. You have to be so damn careful what you say to a kid, you know. You can't do a kid's song saying, the country's falling apart, and you can't trust anybody anymore. You can't do songs like that for children. So this song is about you can never dream too much. And you know what? Boy, is that great. Because you can never dream too much. One of the things I loved about Barack Obama, and you could have thought he was a horrible president. I don't really care. But Bill Clinton did this as well. And you may think, well, he wasn't a great president either. But the guys, if you're going to rattle off smoke and mirrors, at least rattle off the good stuff. These guys, Clinton was building a bridge to the next century. And Obama was saying to hope and dream and follow your dreams and everybody band together and have a vision of greatness. This was good stuff. This was children's fairy tale stuff, but it made you feel good. It made you feel like there was a goal and a purpose. And then Trump comes along and he says, let's make America great again. The supposition immediately printed on a hat that the place that we live in the United States is not a great place and it needs to be made great again. He starts with the supposition of destruction. He starts with the supposition that everything's crap. But it wasn't all crap. He made it all crap. And then he got into the White House and he kept the crap and he added more crap onto the perceived amount of crap. Donald Trump in his speeches never, ever talks about the greatness of America or about a dream. He never does. He talks about a plan to become king. He never makes us feel like we are being lifted into a better place. The only place it says that is on a hat. And that's all. You can never dream too much. It's true. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my guest will be joining me.
To create each episode of The Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, everybody. Dr. Luis Romano joins us in Cerise Murata, and we're talking about the flu. Every year we talk about the flu, and we encourage people to get their flu shots. How important is it, really?
It is very important, Ron. You know, last year, CDC estimated that there were 80,000 deaths related to flu infection. Mm. So flu is not just the flu. It can be a very serious disease, and we have vaccines to help prevent it. So it's very important that, as CDC recommends, everyone who's 6 months and older should get the flu vaccine each and every year.
Okay. What about some of the misconceptions, like I have allergies to eggs, or I don't like to get sharp needles in my arm, that kind of thing? Are there ways around all of this?
The best way to handle these misconceptions is just to, you know, go and talk to your pharmacist, talk to your healthcare provider, and get the best information available. CDC does have recommendations for all these populations, like egg allergic patients. There are some vaccines that don't use needles, so the flu spray, flu vaccine. So there's a lot of information that, in order to make a well-informed decision, you just have to talk to a healthcare provider.
Wow. Now, Cerise is a chief operating officer with the Families Fighting Flu, and I assume there are some examples of what happens when you don't take precautions.
Yes, Ron, that's correct. And I am not only the chief operating officer, but I am also a parent who lost a healthy child to influenza.
Oh.
So it's really something I, as a parent, understand the dangers of flu, and we as an organization understand that this happens all too often. And really what we want to do is prevent this from happening to other families. And how we can do that is to recommend that everyone 6 months and older get their annual flu vaccine, because unfortunately healthy children and adults can be seriously affected by this disease.
I agree. As a matter of fact, I'll go one step further, and you don't have to comment, but I think it's child abuse if you don't get your child inoculated simply because you feel that you don't want to. I think that's abusive, and I think it's wrong, and there should be consequences, but that's just me. You don't have to respond. Anyway, okay. The flu always originates from the Far East. Is that true?
So the flu circulates across the globe all the time. So in the U.S. and in the Northern Hemisphere, we have our flu season between October and April. But then in the Southern Hemisphere, they have the flu season during our summer. So it's like it's a cycle. So it's not really, and it's changing all the time. That's one of the reasons why we need a new flu vaccine every year.
And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it pretty close. Is that true? In other words, we can't really know ahead of time exactly what is going to arrive.
That is right. If we know something about the flu, is that it is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So from the time that the public health authorities decide the formulation of the vaccine, and it has to be manufactured, and then there might be slight changes that may impact the vaccine effectiveness. However, it's clear from studies and from a lot of evidence that every year the flu vaccine does prevent a lot of diseases, hundreds of thousands of doctor visits, hospitalizations, and thousands of deaths. So it's the single best way to help us prevent these diseases.
What is the acceptable timeline here? In other words, we can get flu shots now, which we should, because we're talking to you about it. How late can you get a flu shot? I mean, like, what's the parameters time-wise here?
So even if the CDC recommends that you should get vaccinated by the end of October, it's never too late to get the vaccine because, again, it's the flu season is unpredictable. Sometimes the flu season peaks in February. So even if it's November or December, it's never too late to get the flu vaccine.
Now, is it true or untrue that the flu vaccine, you're introducing a small strain into your system so that it can fight it off? And people might say, I don't want flu strains introduced into my system. Is that all, like, misunderstood?
The flu vaccines, the flu shot, it's made out of inactivated flu viruses that then they are split apart. So what you're putting in your body are just the proteins of these flu viruses.
Okay.
So there's no way that these can, you know, cause the disease. And these vaccines have been studied for more than 50 years, and the safety profile is very positive.
Okay. So there's no reason not to get a flu shot. That's the bottom line, right?
Exactly. So if you are 6 months or older, you should get a flu vaccine every year.
Okay. Cerise, if we wanted to check out more information about your organization, how do we do that?
Yes, you can visit our website at www.familiesfightingflu.org. And there is a lot of information on there, as well as our family stories. We currently have around 36 family stories on there, one of which is my son, Joseph. So absolutely, I would encourage people to visit our website for more information.
Sometimes it's important for us to see and hear the ramifications of things. It kind of makes us understand a little bit better, and that makes a big difference. And, Doctor, I know that you I was saying everybody get your flu shot, speak to your doctor if you have concerns, but get it done.
Exactly. It should be a priority. As Cerise mentioned, it can affect everyone. Mm-hmm. Also, last year, there were 180 kids lost their life due to flu complications,
yes.
And up to 80% of these kids were not vaccinated. So, again, it's not just the flu. It can be a very serious disease, and we need vaccines to help prevent it.
And for people that say, I just never get sick, I've never gotten the flu, and I've never gotten a flu shot, the flu is, you can catch it. If you're near somebody who has the flu, you can pick it up, and it can happen to you without question.
That's right.
Okay.
So the only thing we can do to help prevent it is to get vaccinated, although to wash your hands frequently, to cover nose and mouth when sneezing or coughing.
Okay.
You know, if you're feeling sick, don't go, try not to go to work, not to go to school, and limit the spread of the disease.
All right. And no sex for a year. Right? Okay. No, okay.
One thing I'd like to add, too, is that, you know, getting vaccinated against the flu isn't just about protecting our own individual health.
Uh-huh.
It's also about protecting our loved ones, our family members,
yes,
and people that we come into contact with in the community. So for those people that say, you know, I'm healthy, I don't need a flu vaccine, it's not just about protecting their own individual health.
Right.
So I would encourage people to look at it from that perspective as well.
It's a good point. We don't think about that, but that's a great point. Thank you so much for your time, both of you, today.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, okay, maybe the show wasn't as funny as it usually is. Maybe there wasn't as much laughter and frivolity. But sometimes, you know, things get a little heavy, man. I'm hankering. I've got a taste in my mouth for being uplifted. I want my president to uplift me. I want to be swept off my feet with hope and dreams. That's what I want. Provide it for me. And do it now. Anyway, just like the kids' song.
There's a monkey in the band. The muffins are sleeping, and the tiger's in the sand. Oh no.
Do you remember a time where you just laid in bed at night and your parent or your parents, depending on your situation, would sit on the side of the bed and read you a little bedtime story, and you were nestled under those blankets and things were not horrible. There was your connection. There was your parent sitting there with security, letting you know that everything is going to be all right. You don't have to face anything alone. We'll always be here for you, sitting on the side of your bed, reading you stories, caring for your health and your well-being, telling you to dream that when you get older and you become an adult, you'll be successful, you'll be happy, you'll have a family of your own, and everything will be good. And we'll be here always in the background to help you when you fall, but more to support you when you succeed and rise above everyone else. That's why we're here. That's why we're sitting on the side of your bed reading you this story. Well, keep dreaming, despite what you are told. Keep the dream alive. Even if your parents aren't around anymore, close your eyes and imagine them sitting on the side of your bed, because they will always be there, one way or another. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.